Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I believe it was Winston Churchill during World War II made the famous phrase, never surrender, never give up. And I know that a lot of people are just looking at, you know, how we're reacting to this flu that is targeting, or this virus that is targeting specific age groups. I'll even throw this out there. Is it ironic that the people that are most susceptible to this are the older people? Now, if I was a diabolical communist that wanted to have a big effect on the world, the people I would want to kill would be the older people. Now, Pol Pot, when he took over with the Khmer Rouge, what he did was he targeted the educated. There was a reason why, because the educated had a level of understanding that could put context to what he was doing and how, you know, are the what would be the outcomes of the actions. Because anybody that studies history can all, you know, start looking and predicting, okay, well, they're doing this, then this is what's going to happen. It's basic deduction for somebody that has an education. Well, what is the one thing that the old people have that would be a threat to global communism and this push forward? Well, obviously, the people that are acquiring gray on their head are those who have a level of understanding, because they grew up during the time that the perversion of education was just beginning. They're not people that just run off the ledge and say, global warming is going to kill us all in a couple of years. Most of these people are patriots, and that is the biggest problem that they have, because most people realize that every time things have moved towards a collective state, it has always resulted in the death of millions. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friends, that only government can kill with such efficiency. Corporations can't. It is antithetical for a corporation to think it's good for its business to kill its customers. As a matter of fact, a corporation should be doing everything it possibly can to try to protect it, you know, the majority of its customers. I mean, that's why more and more companies brag on their labels, food companies and so forth, that this is, you know, processed in a nut-free environment. Or companies are bragging that, you know, their process is like Quaker Oats. If you look at the side of their package, almost every single one of their packages brags about how they're trying to maintain, quote unquote, the sustainable, you know, resources. And I'm going, apparently that must be important to the majority of the customers. And apparently, my friends, that is something that should be very alarming to you. That we have created a society that is living on the edge of fear. And that is one of the reasons why you're going to see panic. Why? Because what is the first thing people do when you hear somebody come over the intercom? Now, everybody, nobody panic. Instantly, that just those words right there shoot out fear. It's almost like saying, you know, if you've ever done this, or if you've ever seen this, when a guy knows he's going to say something that is going to upset his wife or a woman, you know, don't get all emotional. I mean, you make that preface to what you're going to say. You have already got that that the female hormones boiling to really be able to just unleash upon you, right? Well, the fact of the matter is that we're heading in a direction that those people who are pulling the strings want us to be on. And so, as I started to say, Winston Churchill says, never surrender and don't give up. And I'm paraphrasing. But the fact of the matter is, don't surrender to the direction that they want to push you. Now, I'll get into this a little bit more because, you know, everything coronavirus seems to be the rule of our life at this point in time. It has been growing and growing and growing, and we see irrational responses and laws that are coming out that are, I think, 180 out, and I'll get into that as well. But first, I must tell you that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. And this show still is the only show that will give you the academic-based solutions for what it's going to take to get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. This coming election, if the most important elections in the world are in the dark red states, what happens in Washington will pale in comparison to what will be happening in the dark red states. If the dark red states do not succeed in getting constitutional candidates into their state legislature to wake up America, I truly believe that we'll probably be at an impasse. I may stop broadcasting after this coming election, just based on how things are going. Now, I am hoping that we get the funding that we're looking for. I'm not sure what the heck's going on, but I do know everything is being derailed, and I believe everything that we're looking at is, you know, too little, too late. And I hope that's not the case, because I'm not surrendering and I'm not going to give up. But I will tell you that getting the word out, because the day is coming soon when the federal government and all of the soothsayers will be telling us that we need to put aside the Constitution. We have to be able to respond to the crisis at hand. And when they tell you that, that is the point in time where we must make the stand on our principles. We must make the stand in protecting the Constitution and tell the federal government, tell the world, that the federal government does not have the authority to put aside a contract it is not a stakeholder in. It does not own shares in that contract. It has responsibilities based upon the contract, but it does not have the ultimate say over what is to be done with that contract. If it's to be modified, set aside, that is up to the states. These words, my friends, must resonate in every American, especially every state legislator's ears. They must understand that the federal government has no jurisdiction and no authority to make those types of calls, because they've done it before. Lincoln did it, Wilson did it, FDR did it, and even as of late, Nixon, as well as Obama and Bush. And we don't want Trump and other people to do it, because they're convinced that they have those ropes, not strings, ropes to control us. Anyway, the other question I have, and I'll let you ponder on this, are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the solution? Because we're seeing reactions. We are seeing government react. And as government reacts, if we're not working to getting the state legislatures getting involved in this upcoming election, focus on the prize. We must get, well, we can get Wyoming. I think we can get even South Dakota. I think we can even get some of these other states to start shifting their paradigm so that they become focused on Republic Review and calling the federal government out. I hope you understand the magnitude of the time that we are living. We have probably, I think that the world will look back at this time and they will go, wow, what happened? Why did this happen? Or boy, aren't we glad that that happened? I mean, it's the tale of two tales. What tale will they tell? Will they be able to go through, just like we talk about with the revolution and creating the only nation ever to stand up and protect individual liberty and individual sovereignty and delegating very defined powers to our government, keeping the majority of the powers to ourselves, even in the state government? We had constitutions that limited our state governments. And today, we now have state governments with general powers. We've got to fix this. This is why I keep saying we must call for constitutional conventions to rewrite our state constitutions. But as you can tell, we're at a break. So when we come back from this break, we will get into some news, but I'll have to give you the obligatory how you can support us. But we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so our next episode, we're actually going to air our Keith Broder's interview. And the intent is to really let you, you know, hear the conversation. We're going to be talking about the Electoral College. Keith has a wealth of historical information. I mean, this guy is a walking history textbook. And I love people like that. I myself love history, and so that's why, you know, as you start learning history, you can start citing, and you start seeing the comparisons of what the heck's going on, and how we're just doomed to repeat history unless we actually make some good decisions. Now, again, that'll be in our next episode. So tomorrow, so to speak, we will be playing that interview. I would also beg, I beseech, I plead to you to please start expanding the listenership. Get more people to start understanding what is at stake and getting them involved. Send them to the Red State Talk Radio podcast page on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Have them find your favorite and then just send them a link to it and say, listen to this one podcast. This gets right to the heart of the matter. And as a matter of fact, I truly believe that the ratification debate readings, you know, when we went through 30-some episodes of reading the ratification debates, I think all of that is gold. When you start putting it all together, it gives you a picture of, wow, just how harmonious. Even though these were disparate, their focuses were different, there was nothing. There is zero evidence that the Constitution was sold in any manner the way we see it and the way we're being told it is today. It is a refreshing contrast to find the truth amongst a world of lies. So keep up on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page for what we're doing. I'm doing my best to kind of keep that up as well as doing a lot of other things. I have some good news. We're going to start showing you as we start integrating with the National Liberty Alliance in helping each other try to get this moving. So the National Liberty Alliance is another organization that is recognizing and supporting Republic Review. You know, if you are a member of the John Birch Society that absolutely understands and supports this, if you're a member of the Eagle Forum and absolutely understands and supports the importance of holding our federal government accountable, audit them, and get them back into the scope, not convening a convention for amending the Constitution. Whether the Constitution needs changes, it doesn't need changes via a constitutional convention. As a matter of fact, I'm serious when I tell the John Birchers, why don't you just create a consensus? Anybody that's anti-convention, why don't you just create a consensus among the states to say, take that out of the Constitution? Republic Review will fix every problem that we have. If you start understanding Republic Review, you can actually take away the ability for the states to convene a convention, because the states have far more control than the Constitution allows, especially in today's technology where we can actually stay on top of laws. I mean, it's one thing when you just find out 2 months later that a law was passed by the federal government that has changed your world. Well, we could actually engage in a law as they're writing it on the page to say, stop that, put that pen down. You can't violate the Constitution by creating a law like that. That is where the states need to be. And that's exactly what Hamilton and Madison talked about. It's precisely what they talked about, by creating borders, by creating protections at the state level to ensure that the federal government did not encroach upon their powers, to keep them within their prospective roles, responsibilities, and powers that were delegated to them. Anyway, I don't want to take up a whole other segment talking about this. There are ways you can support us. As you know, we have Red State Coffee. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Get your Red State Coffee on. You can talk all conservative as you're drinking that and feel good about it, I guess. I would also say that you can go to our GoFundMe drive. And there, my friends, you can actually just help contribute directly. It's probably the one mechanism that probably takes the least pound of flesh out of helping us. Anyway, we also have this constitutional awareness that we're trying to get people to get involved in. And so we would ask that you look at trying to get businesses that are open right now that would be willing to help promote the Constitution during Constitution Day and or Constitution Week. Let them know it's coming up. They've got time to do something about it. Now, for those who don't know or don't have the ability to just listen via the internet or via the airwaves, we have a listen line, 605-562-4209. And so with that, I just want you to know that that's one way you can always get your Reclaiming the Republic on. So anyway, now into the debates. I know lots of people are talking about the debates because this is a whirlwind that is going to come forth. And you can't tell me that there is a coincidence with what is going on. I already told you about the World Bank and the $500 million defaulting because of this coming pandemic. There's another document we'll get into later that starts tying this all together. We want to talk about global conspiracy? Here you go. But let's talk about the little whirlwind that's happening underneath our feet regarding Circus Maximus and the Democratic run to try to unseat Trump. They're desperate. They want to take back because they recognize that they're losing grasp. And if Trump gets four more years, it may be harder for them to get some of the things done, at least so a lot of people say. I won't believe everything until it happens, but I do believe that we do have the luxury of time if Trump stays in office. Now, I don't see the luxury. He's buying us time. Let's use that phrase. We're getting the grace of a little extra time because of Trump. And then there were two. And when I say then there were two on the debate floor, last night. Or actually, I'm sorry, on the Sunday debate this past Sunday. And so as you look at how they are going at each other and what the focus is, you should be very scared. You should be waking up and saying, this is full-fledged socialism. And this is actually the full implementation of Alexander Teitler's The Cycle of Democracy, where people learn that they can start using their voting to gain access to the public purse. Well, now I've been telling people that the Constitution never allowed that. What has had to happen is we have had to change and convince people in their perception of the Constitution that we can do that. They had to change the rigidness of the Constitution and the checks and balances placed within it to say, nah, they've got these general powers and they have this noble ability. And it's a lot, you know, it has nothing to do with what you read. It has everything to do with what we tell you. In other words, they're making it up as they go along. And listening to these two old men, old communists, it's just like, are you kidding? Now we're hearing a progressive social security tax. Yeah. Hello, youth. Hello, those of you that are coming into and think you might want, if you're a professional, if you're a young professional and you vote Democrat, you will be strapped with a much higher tax on both Medicare and your Social Security. It's no longer just going to be income tax. It is going to become progressive. And what I mean progressive, the more money you make, the more they're going to take. Instead of a flat tax, regardless of what you make, you pay 15% into Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid, whatever. Well, that's changing. Those of you that are going to become more successful get to pay a better amount. Don't buy off on this. This is pure socialism. They're also, in doing this, they're also gaining more revenue to increase illegal access to Social Security. You know, if you can't work, oh, well, we'll put you on Social Security. Your kids have a little ailment or whatever. There are way too many kids drawing on Social Security. They haven't even gotten to the age of an adult yet, and they're getting Social Security benefits. Are you kidding? They have perverted this entire system as a trough of entitlement. And, oh, they want more money. And because they know that they can't go after you with the, you know, just ratcheting up the income tax so quickly, they're going to come after you. Either way, you're going to notice that you're not going to have nearly the same amount of money in your wallet at the end of the day. What are you going to do? You better start waking people up to the facts of what these guys are talking about. They're talking about progressive Social Security tax. They're talking about increasing people's access to entitlements instead of getting people to take a stand. Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do. And the best thing you can do is get to work and become a contributor instead of a taker. Anyway. We're at a hard break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Another thing that just seems to grow its legs is the debasement and the immorality that is the foundation of the Democratic Party. Obviously, now who has bragging rights in supporting infanticide? Are you kidding me? Infanticide is the new moral low. Or it, actually, I can't even say that anymore. It is one of the new lows in our society. Because if you understand the sexual dysphoria and sexualizing of our children, child traffic or sex trafficking period, and the fact that there's more and more kids that are becoming prevalent in this practice. It seems the direction that the progressives want. I mean, start connecting the dots, folks. The direction is debasement. And I'm not saying the basement of a building. I am saying they are taking us into the direction of a full collapse of our morals as a society. What that means is it doesn't matter. The ends justify the means. If they have to take, if they have to kill, if you don't see things their way, they don't have to be tolerant. My friends, when will America wake up? It doesn't matter whether you agree with somebody, somebody's opinion. That's one of the reasons why we go through Madison's property, because Madison and that essay on property points out that we all have property rights in our very own thoughts and ideas. We have property rights that extend well beyond what we believe and what we see as property today. I am here to tell you, and the other reason I use that essay, and we'll be bringing that in, we'll be reading that and focusing an episode or two on it, probably one, but because it's a short essay, you need to read it. The reason I use that so much is to help you understand that the state's property is the Constitution. That is state property. Your state legislatures possess, even though it is not a personal, it is an entity, a property of the entities. In other words, every single state as shareholders, not as people. You got to understand, look at the state like a corporation. Doesn't matter who's in the circle of trust, that brain trust, the state legislatures, it doesn't matter. That body is the shareholder of the Constitution, and that body has stake. It has ownership over that Constitution. It is their property. And they're watching the federal government and these hooligans literally commit atrocious violations, egregious violations against their property. And the whole time they are allowing you to have your liberties and sovereignty stripped from you. The only path in just restoring those things is Republic Review. Because what Republic Review does is it gets the government out of the way from dictating religion, education, energy. The federal government does not have any authority over even things such as race, even things, because it's not in the Constitution. I try to tell people this all the time. Show me in the Constitution where the Civil Rights Act or the ADA or any of those things were amendments to the Constitution. And yet we follow those things. Not that they're not good moral high grounds to treat everybody equal. That is the fundamental basis of the Declaration of Independence. It only makes sense that we do those things. But today, the federal government dictating, creating quotas and all these other things, putting businesses out of business because they don't have access for people that have disabilities. One would think that if there was only, maybe two people in the entire Tri-County area that might have disabilities way out in Wyoming, why would they be held accountable? It's one thing to say, you know what, if you have a disability, put a little sign on your door and say, if you have a disability, please let us know. We will do everything we can to help you come and help you, take advantage of the services and products that we offer. Instead of having a federal code say you have to put an elevator, you have to spend millions of dollars to accommodate somebody when it would be cheaper if you just hired four people to like pallbearers, to like how they carried Benjamin Franklin in and signing the Constitution and so forth. It would be cheaper for them to do that. Hey, just let us know when you want to come in and we're going to carry you around and take care of you. But instead, government mandates and they crush small businesses. They are destroyed. And that's the intent of all of these types of laws. So anyway, if you want to look at the macro view, the Democratic Party is trying to race down. I mean, they're just trying to do a dive bomb, just go straight down on morals regarding our society. Talking about infanticide, they're going to get into the LGBTQ XYZ crap. And they're going to say, you have a right. We're going to mandate that every American must participate in a variety of debauchery and sexual perversion so that you can actually and accurately dictate what orientation you really have. They're doing that to your kids. And eventually, within when my wife and I discussed this back in 2014, 2015, she thought maybe 10 years, I thought maybe 5 years. So it's 2020. Here we are. It's been 5 years. Will this year be the year, or will we wait another year, or, you know, as we slide a little bit closer? And, you know, there's no winning this bet. There's no winning this. I hope you understand this, that if because this is going to transpire, we all lose. But the day is coming when your children are going to receive homework assignments to participate and engage in a variety of perverse sexual acts on their own so that they can come back and speak to and dictate to the class why they chose to be blank, why they chose to become a bestiality, why they chose to get involved in homosexuality, why they chose the sexuality that they chose. And we're not talking about, you know, the 18 and 17-year-olds where, okay, they're close to adults. We're talking fourth graders. We're talking people, young children who do not even have a mature mind to make those kinds of decisions. Folks, it's time. It's time. Here's your wake-up call. If you look in the perspective, it's not just about sexualizing. Biden and Sanders are competing to further socialism in America and ultimately the surrendering of our sovereignty, which means that the only thing and the only important thing is getting the states to wake up now. We need David to be pulled out of the field and get him ready to go out onto that field of battle. That battle being the states taking back the power and authority that they possess. It is theirs. It's tantamount, and I like to do this metaphor. It is just like in The Lord of the Rings when Gandalf goes and sees King Rohan and knocks him upside the head, and he comes out of the spell and realizes he's been duped and fooled into believing he has no power, when yet he has all the power necessary to defeat this evil. Friends, I can't say it any better. We're at that point where we need to get the states, and that's why this coming election is so important. That's why, you know, I really don't care if you support me financially. What I really care is you help us get the candidates that need your support, contribute to them in these dark red states. I know the overwhelming urge to really support that candidate out there that is, you know, going to help you in your blue state, you know, stop slight. Those are all empty promises. The only promise I can guarantee you, if we get one state to call for Republic review, every state in the union, every state legislature is going to learn the facts. And that is more powerful than any other message that we can get to start initiating this, I'll just call it this grass fire, this fire that will go across the landscape of this republic in waking up your state legislatures. And in doing so, it will also help educate you, or I should say your fellow citizens, who are in a daze. And they're going to go, what the heck is this Republic Review? Auditing? What is that? Huh? That, can we do that? And they will get cancer education fed to them. Anyway, we're at another heartbreak. We will get into the coronavirus. It's right. It's coming up, as well as the economics. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so before I really get into a lot of the meat I want to, I just want you to consider some points, because these are some of the points that are part of the debate. First, the United States pays far more per capita on healthcare, even though they're saying we don't pay enough, everybody needs more, 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 more. The United States pays more per capita on healthcare than any other major country in the world. It's basically about $10,000 in 2016, twice as much as Canada. And the OECD median was $4,000. Switzerland is the major developed country, and U.S. costs are 25% higher than Switzerland's. In other words, they pay about $8,000. We pay about $10,000 per capita in taking care of our people. In other words, the government is paying this. Now, this information comes out of a study from researchers by John Hopkins, Bloomberg School of Public Health. Now, the more recent estimates show that the United States is going to spend probably on the top side of $11,000, where Switzerland has actually gone down per person, Norway is going down per person, and Germany is about $6,000 per person, where we're going to be doubling Germany on our expenses and what we pay for healthcare. All of those are more than half of the United States spending, although the average was just under $4,000. So Sanders would basically be correct if he spoke about the average or median of other developed companies. The reality is no amount is enough for the greedy and indolent who are being pandered to. We're going to give you more, and we're going to take it from those who don't deserve it. My friends, wake up. As they talk about these numbers, as they talk about what they want to do in the election. So I said at the very beginning that we were going to go into Keith Broder's show. I've got too much stuff I want to cover, so we're going to do that interview in not the next episode, but in the following episode, because I'm taking way too long to get through these points. This is really important. Over the weekend, I posted the concept, this concept in social media about states making laws to quarantine affected people. In other words, cite them to $100, cite them at $250, just like going through the intersection through a red light. The states have to do something. I do not like the trend of what we're seeing with draconian measures of shutting down businesses. Businesses have a right to commit commerce. Your state government has a responsibility to protect the safety and livelihood of the people. Most people are saying, oh, these state governments are unconstitutional. No, they can be draconian when it comes to public safety and health. And as a matter of fact, there's no due process in this. And so some of the things that kind of came up when I said the states should get engaged. They should start passing laws to keep the affected people away from the public. But instead, we just allow them to just walk freely. So the best way is to punish everybody. Are you kidding? That is not a moral or an enlightened society. So some of the things that came up as well, you're violating due process of those individuals. I go, no, I'm not. That there is a right to health and life. Government's primary object is to protect life and property. Whether we like it or not, they do have, almost every state has public safety laws. And so if all of a sudden there is a killer virus that could affect people, maybe not even directly, it could be because you become a carrier, you could go and affect and kill your parents who might be, you know, grandparents or great-grandparents. We already know how these things are targeting. We have to start creating laws to say if you were in an area where a patient came up, then you have to self-quarantine, just like what Ted Cruz did. And if you're caught in public, if people, I have identified you as a potential carrier and a potential exposure, doesn't mean you are going to get it. You may have a good immune system that will knock it out. But if you've been exposed to it, you need to self-quarantine. Don't go out in public. If you're the one that does the shopping, then you can't do shopping. You can't go to church. You can't go out to eat. You have to self-quarantine yourself so that the rest of us can continue to pay the bills and do things instead of allowing this draconian concept to come out. Now, due process is only guaranteed if you are having your rights stripped by punishment. In other words, there's a crime and you're going to be punished. A suspension of your ability to get out and do something for public safety is well within a state's prerogative and constitutional powers. They can call martial law. Do you want the state to declare martial law? Well, yeah, I do, if they would be calling out the militia. But they're not. They're going to call in federal troops. These progressive states are going to use what we would actually see, and they're going to beg the federal government to take such drastic measures. This is why this call to getting states to be the solution instead of begging the federal government to be the solution. It is far better to have your state try to fix the mess than letting the federal bureaucrats using their draconian tactics to slam us. And that's what's been happening. And that seems like the automatic direction that we're going to go. I know you may not like it that you get ticketed. You may become fined, or maybe because you can't do what you're supposed to do, they take you off to a facility where you can be taken care of based on your needs so that you don't become a harm to all the rest of the public. Bottom line, you've heard me rant and rant and rant about people that are sick that go out in public. They go, oh, I got to go to church. It's just a cold. So what if I affect anybody else? I put this in tantamount to hitting somebody in the throat or causing any kind of harm by direct battery and assault. Instead of hitting them with your fist, you are hitting them with a virus. You are you knowingly with the runny nose and a fever, with a flu, a cold, I don't care what. You've got a virus. You going and exposing yourself to somebody in public is the same thing as hitting them and hitting everybody that they expose themselves to. I don't like it. I honestly believe that we need to make this, we need to go down this path of even going after these types of people on the economic costs. In other words, you know what? I'm sorry you don't have much. I'm sorry that you killed grandma by affecting these two people that went to visit her and gave her the disease before they knew that they were carrying it and killed her. That is a direct result of your callousness and carelessness by going out into public. I know that there are big ramifications, but if we want to reduce the amount of people dying from the flu, the amount of people dying when you know you were on a flight, that there was a report, and I got to go to work, I got to put food on the table. The problem is that when people are put into those ways, and because we've walked away from religion altogether, there's no mechanism for you to be helped. We need to start restoring our principles and allowing churches to provide compassionate services instead of the state. The state should be getting out of welfare, education, healthcare, and all of those things. You want to improve our society, we need to get back onto the path of enlightenment, where we all behave responsibly, and it is irresponsible to be sick and to walk into public. It doesn't matter if you I'm working on a vacation here and I need more money. I don't care. I think that we need to start passing those types of laws. It's just like, and I see this all the time because I live in a state with good winters where I see people that don't have the money to put good tires on their car. They go up into the mountains, they spin out of control, they cause an accident, and then everybody on the freeway is parked on the freeway for 2 to 4 hours while they have to clean up the mess you made. Because the rest of us all had chains and good traction tires to actually be able to navigate through the highway system, except you couldn't. And so you affected the commerce and all these people. I truly believe that there needs to be economic impact when people's behavior and inappropriate judgment affects others. You know, it's just like, it goes in even into actual civil activism when who was that idiot Sharpton and his crew actually took a protest in Southern California. It was early 2000s, I believe, and they actually went out onto the freeway and shut down the freeway. This has happened around the nation since they've started doing these things and it's impacting commerce. They need to pay the economic impacts. Anyway, we've ran out of time. I'll get more into this rant in our next episode, and hopefully we can wrap up and get to Keith Broders. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.